Hey, girl, hey.
Why you sound so innocent?
Because I am. And plus,
Hi.
like, I didn't say it because I was waiting, but I'm just so excited because I feel like I haven't talked to you in so long. And the last time we talked was book club, but it was like four of
It's
us.
been a little minute. It's been what, 2 months?
No, the last time I talked to you was when we, like, right after we released the last episode about,
A month and a couple weeks. So the beginning of
oh my
April.
God, has it really been that
It's been
long?
like a month.
Am I really that bad of a friend?
Had wine. Wine in
You
wine in my mouth.
like, I didn't want to say it.
Hard swallow.
I'll do better. I'm reaching a lull, so I'll be able to do better. That's my fault. I can be honest and say that. Anyway, so what have
We
you been up to?
so much,
Yeah.
just busy, nonstop, around the clock, waiting for my job to be over for the summer.
Almost, how long you got?
15 days and counting. Day by
15
day.
days, 16 hours and 3 minutes.
In 22 minutes, and I will be
And
done for the summer.
you'll be free.
Thank God.
What did you do this weekend?
I don't even remember. I know I played softball on Friday.
Oh, that
Oh,
sounds fun.
we went to Beaumont and hung out with friends. We had a
Okay.
good little weekend and came home on Sunday and got ready for another week. It
Another
is
work
time for
week.
final exams, ready to be done. Cannot wait. I can't even think straight. Once I get home from work every day, my brain is off. It just goes into shutdown mode. I am
Right.
overwhelmed. So I
Right.
am ready for a little conversation.
And I am hoping you will be very excited about who we talked to today, because I don't even want to waste any time. When I mentioned her, you weren't familiar with her name, but and honestly, I didn't know who she was either. I was watching this girl named Brittany Vaughn does true crime videos on YouTube, and I binge watch her and Bailey Sarian's YouTube true crime
I
and
know about
makeup.
her.
I know all the time, and I was just like looking for the next episode, and a suggested person came up, and her name was Kennedy Myers. And I'm looking, I'm like, why does this name sound familiar? Why does this look familiar? It's because she works with me.
Oh, wait, hold on. What?
Yes. So this girl, Kennedy, she does true crime and makeup. This is what I knew initially. And she bartends at my job. So I was like, oh my God. So of course I had to check it out. And I checked it out. And this girl has like 20,000 followers on YouTube. So my
Hold
mind is
on.
blown, right?
So we're the dummies because she's clearly out
Obvi.
here. She's
Obvi.
so we're the dummies. Wow. Okay.
She's like doing the damn thing, and I was not even aware, and it just kind of speaks to the type of person she is. She's just so humble and never talks about it. And even when I brought it up to her that I saw her, she was just like, huh. And that's she really acts like us when it comes, like when people tries to talk to us about the podcast, and we're just kind of like, ah, that's how she was. So I wanted to get her on today because what I found out just between then and now is she doesn't just do true crime and makeup. This girl is multifaceted. She does it all. This
Wow.
girl today, y'all, we're talking to the cake lady, the true crime baddie, and the bartender, and this girl has like a family. So, she has people that she has to take care of. So, without further ado, we're gonna go ahead and three-way in Kennedy Myers.
Hi.
Hi,
Hey.
Kennedy. How are you?
I'm great. How are you? How are y'all?
We're good. Doing good. I just, first off, let me just introduce y'all and get that out of the way. Kennedy, this is my best friend, Mia. Mia, this is Kennedy Myers.
Hi, Kennedy.
Who I was telling you about. Kennedy, thank you for taking time out today, because I know you're a busy woman, to join us really quick and just have this like conversation and let the, you know, our long distance bestie know a little bit more about you. And before we got too deep into it, like, do you mind if I just kind of flex for you a little bit?
Sure.
Do you mind? Okay. So I know I said a little bit about y'all, but let me just dive in a little bit more. So Kennedy is, I guess you go by the cake lady, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So she is the cake lady for a baking and recipe blog/vlog. And this vlog alone has an audience of over 600,000 followers on TikTok. Yes.
That is dope.
I was like, who would have thought? But that's not all. Millions of viewers. Like millions of views. So 600,000 followers, but millions of views, 50,000 followers on Instagram. And then she's almost at 20,000 followers on YouTube, but her videos have over 700,000 views on YouTube.
Wow.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes. And she's done this by, I guess your TV, Kennedy Myers TV YouTube page, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And with the Kennedy Myers TV YouTube page, she also does my favorite thing, true crime and makeup, which I fall asleep to. So, you know, I've been binging your stuff. And just to like put a little icing on the cake, since she's a baker, she is also a bartender and has kids. Do you have one or two kids, Kennedy? I wanted to.
Two boys.
Two boys, y'all.
So I have a question straight out the gate. What do you not do? Because you do it all.
You know, we as Black women, we have to wear 1,000 hats.
Absolutely.
Just to make a dollar. So I just, when I find something I'm good at, I kind of go balls to the wall with it, you know?
Right. I love that.
It's been working for you, obviously. That was Mia's first question, but I want to ask you, like, do you sleep?
Sometimes, you know, it's a lot of work, but I've always just been somebody who likes to work if I'm doing something that I want to be doing. You know, maybe I don't want to clock into a 9-to-5 every day, but if I can stay up until 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning doing something that I love, then I'm going to do it no matter what. I'll always make it.
I love that. And then I love the fact that you do so much, it just like, it's an inspiration. And I know when I've like spoken to other people who kind of learned about the things you do, specifically Chef B, you know, we just rave about how great you are. And I was telling Mia, you're just so multifaceted, and it's really a good motivator. Like, it's really, ever since I saw how much you do, I'm not going to lie, it gave me a little kick in the ass. And one of the things I told Chef B is like, man, she does all this stuff. I have one job. I have like one hobby I do, and I can barely find times to get these things done. And I have no kids. I have a dog. So like, I just, before we dive into it, I just wanted to like say, keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. And then you're welcome. And I saw that, I know this is like totally off subject, but once again, gassing you up. I saw that Brittany Vaughn shouted you out. I was like, yes.
I mean, actually, we talk a lot. We DM a lot. I can't wait to get out to Houston to visit her. But like, she's 1,000 times more better in like person, like in DMs, than she is in her videos. Like, she's literally the sweetest, most genuine person. Like, one of the best people I've met through like the whole social media thing. Right. We started talking after I had the craziest thing happen. I did a true crime case, and the victim's family started attacking me, like, going in, telling me they were gonna get lawyers involved, like take this video down. Like it was a lot. Wow. And it was like maybe my sixth or seventh true crime video. So I was like stuck. And she was the only person, you know, that I could have thought of to DM, and I DM'd her and, you know, asked her like what she thought or what I should do. And she gave me advice, and we've been talking ever since. And she's the best. she's the best. I just love her so much.
That's so amazing. I love how she like was there to support you. I love Black women supporting other Black women. And honestly, I never thought about people who are involved in the cases reaching out to the people who are telling the story. So that's surprising. Wow, I never thought like that would be something you would have to go through. You know, I guess because I'm just not familiar. You know, we listen to true crime, we watch true crime, but I guess we never think about how like it influenced victim or like the families that are involved. So whoa, that's mind blowing. But but so I said, I saw that Zo3 TV did a duet with you on TikTok.
Oh, I don't know. Who is that? I don't even know who is that.
Zo3 TV, he did a TikTok duo with you to one of your recipe videos on TikTok. He has like over 1 million followers.
Oh, what?
See me? I was telling you, she is so humble. I told you, she's so humble.
Humble yet famous on the internet.
Right.
That is cool.
She's like, let me look really quick.
I'm just trying to put it together. Baking.
Oh, I've never true seen, crime. I'm gonna have to look for it later, but I had no idea.
He did a freestyle rap duet to you, like decorating cupcakes.
Really?
Yes. It has like over 1 million views.
That is so, oh my God. There's so much like media on TikTok, like something you get 1 million views and like you have no idea. It's so insane. Like it is just, it's wild. I can't wrap my head around it. Still, I don't.
Well, that's I do. Crazy. She's just like, what? Well, obviously the hustle is taking you places, and I definitely see the hustle and appreciate it. And I kind of wanted to see if you can tell us like how you were able to get your foot into baking, and especially to be at the point where you are now, where you've been able to use baking and decorating, like your baking and decorating skills to gain such a large audience on pretty much every social media platform that you have.
Yeah. So with the, it's crazy. Like I applied at a Sam's Club, like as my first job out of college, and they just threw me in the bakery. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm gonna learn how to bake some cakes. And that's kind of where it all started. I like just by happenstance, I applied for the job because I had family that worked there. They threw me in the bakery and I've been decorating cakes ever since. And it got to a point where I was decorating cakes and I was like, they sell these cakes for a lot of money, but I'm not making a whole lot of money.
Right.
So I started coaching my clients from there. If it was a cake that we couldn't make in the Sam's Club, I'd be like, girl, I'm going to give you my number and I can make it for you at home. It's going to be a little bit more expensive, but I got you. And I built up my clients through girls coming in to Sam's, and then I quit Sam's, and then I was just baking from home. My little business was Cream and Crumble, and it was just like just everything I could dream of. Like it was just so exciting to me. The first car I ever bought in my name, I bought it like from baking cakes at home. Like it was crazy.
Wow.
And like when I bought that car, I just knew like this is it. This is what I'm gonna do. And so in quarantine one day, I remember just being like obsessed with TikTok, and I told my son that I was like, you know, I think I want to decorate cakes on TikTok, and I haven't seen a lot of people, you know, do it with their flavor, their personality. I said, I'm going to bake these cakes, and I'm going to twerk while I bake these cakes, and I think it's going to work. And he's always so supportive, and I can only imagine how that must have sounded to him then, but it worked. Like, that video, I posted it on, like, the 11th, and by the 25th, I had 100,000 followers.
Wow.
Whoa.
Oh, my gosh.
And this was like your very first video?
The very first one. Yeah, I made a Patron cake.
Ooh.
I love a good liquor cake, girl.
You know, the folks like Patron.
And then, like, in this whole timeline, when did true crime and makeup get incorporated into your social media?
True crime and makeup actually came before the bacon and stuff on the internet. Yeah.
Okay.
maybe like a 8 or 9 month period. Well, I've had a YouTube channel for a long time that I just never really knew what I was gonna do with, and right. It didn't really start taking off until I started posting true crime. I think I posted my first one in the end of 2021 or the end of 2020, I'm sorry. And I started doing it slowly but surely, and that's kind of what my platform has picked up on. But I've always really been like YouTube first.
Right.
The cake just got thrown in.
The cakes is what got thrown in later. Okay. For true crime and makeup, when did you realize you wanted to do that? Like, who was your inspiration? How did you decide you wanted to get into it?
I've always really been interested in true crime. My stepdad was a homicide detective, and he did that for a long time. And, like, he would always watch it. And my mom would be like, you cannot be sitting on the couch watching this. It's weird. And so I've always had an interest. And then, of course, like, when Bailey came in and all the other girls, I really didn't feel like that space was available to women of color until I saw Brittany Vaughn. Like, she's the one who really, like, made it feel possible for me, for sure, like, 100%.
Since your dad is a homicide, your stepdad is a homicide detective, have you always been, like obsessed? Like, were you sneaking around trying to, like, watch things? Were you, like, trying to pick his brain and get things out of him about cases?
We like to watch. We never talked about, like, his work, because I probably would have been traumatized hearing things that was happening
exactly.
in my real life. But for sure, like, he's the type of person that will watch a cop show, crime show all day, every day. So in the middle of the living room. So whether I was looking for it or not, it was just always on. And my grandma loved it too. So I've just always been around it, but I didn't really get like into it until like Bailey Therion kind of popped up and made it like, you know, just a more relaxing experience with the makeup thrown in there.
I love how you have your own twist on it. Like, I think you're just so funny and just so down to earth. Because I am Black and you're Black, of course, I feel like that's one of the reasons why I understand some of the references that you have and some of the jokes that you make. And Mia as well, she's also obsessed with true crime, and we watch documentaries and talk about them all the time. And when I saw your page, like, I told you at work, like, girl, I've been binge watching, and I really have. Like, I have fallen asleep to your videos, and I saw a TikTok video about how girls fall asleep to true crime, like right after that. But
and people think we're psychopaths.
And because I know.
You saw Rihanna posted a video to that sound, and that was all that was all I needed. Like, if Rihanna does it, then I can do it. It's fine.
Exactly.
Right. And you actually have such a good voice. You have such a good recording voice. So that's another thing that I like about listening to your videos. But you mentioned earlier about how you had the victim's family reach out to you. So I wanted to ask you, besides that, have you faced any other challenges when stepping into social media influence in the creative world?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just all so difficult. And like the main thing on YouTube, I feel like Black creators grow slower because like
they definitely
the algorithm and like the way people outside of our bubble see us just from like a thumbnail, like they just won't click it. Like there's not a lot of room for us unless we're like constantly posting, constantly in their face. Like we truly have to work so much harder. And I just feel like, you know, I don't like to make comparisons, but sometimes I think about like the deals I would have made or where I would be if I was like a white girl with blonde hair and, you know, I was more marketable as a brand.
Because
I definitely think, you know, it's just different. Unfortunately, it's very different.
And I agree with you because I see people like, I don't know if you know who Bella Fiore is.
Yeah.
On YouTube, and I see like how she has so much more followers than Brittany Vaughn does, and I really can't wrap my head around like what the difference is. And I know like Brittany has talked about how because of challenges she has faced with her YouTube page, there's certain I guess companies that she's not willing to work with, and then you see these same white girls working with these same companies. Yeah. And then like no, like, nothing against Bailey Therion, but she posts when she started off, she was posting every Monday. Brittany posts like 2-3 times a week.
Yeah.
And she's still not at the stage that Bailey is at. And it's just very hard to reconcile like within that. And it's just like a constant reminder of how much harder Black women have to work to achieve the same levels as others. So,
yeah.
Does any of those challenges still exist? And have you learned from them? Have you been able to take them with you?
Yeah, I think like just the biggest thing when you first start is like you just feel like you're talking to a wall. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there's no subscribers, there's no views, right. You're just talking to a wall. So it's hard to open up and it's hard to like have a conversation with yourself in the middle of your living room. Like, mm-hmm. It's hard, and the getting past yourself, and like in the beginning, you can turn on the camera and you can think it's one way, but then you watch the footage back and you're like, where's my personality? Like, why am I so tense? Why am I so tight? It's hard to, I don't know why it's so hard to translate your personality on camera when you first start. It's a mental thing, I guess. That's the biggest hurdle, the biggest obstacle. It's like, I know people will like me when they can see my personality, but like, why is my personality not shining through on the camera? That was the biggest thing for me. Like, I would film a video and just hate how like stiff and like robotic I was. Like, ew, it was hard to watch.
When do you feel like you got comfortable in front of the camera and you felt like, okay, this is me, this is who I want to, you know, put out there? When did you get comfortable?
I think it comes like when you finally start to see, like when I was getting comments from like the same people every week and I was recognizing, you know, username and the comments, and people mm-hmm. were mentioning things from previous videos, when I started to feel like I was forming connections with people, you know, mm-hmm. that's kind of when you can really relax and like, okay, I'm actually talking to somebody, like somebody's listening.
Right, a little community.
Yeah.
I've always wondered, like, the people who make these videos or do podcasts by themselves, like that must be just so hard for them. I can't even imagine just sitting there and talking to myself. I feel like it's hard enough. Eventually, once we talk long enough, the conversation starts to flow between me and I on my side. I feel like it's harder for me. So I can't even imagine doing it by myself. I would know what to say.
It's weird.
Like, I would not know what to say. So, like, you know, props to you. Props to you, because you make talking to yourself look easy. And it really does seem like you're talking to me when I'm watching your videos.
That's the fun thing about it. Like, once you feel like that connection is made, everything else just flows.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell, like, my true crime baddies all the time that, like, I'm just a bitch sitting here talking to our camera. Like, I don't, you know. That's taken me somewhere and I'm happy with it. But, you know, it's nothing to it but to do it. Once you start, you just kind of mm-hmm. have to ease your way in. It's not like an overnight thing. It just kind of all happens. Like with YouTube, mm-hmm. it just, one day it just, you're there and you're happy you're there, but you don't really know how you got there.
Right. And, you know, I love how you've branded yourself. Like, Kennedy Myers is a brand now. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. Kennedy Myers is an umbrella, and under the umbrella, you have the cake lady and the true crime baddie. And I just love that. And the bartender and the mom. You know, you just have so many things under the Kennedy Myers brand umbrella that going for you. What new challenges have you discovered since your brand has grown so much?
It's not something that I can't do anymore. You know, like, I just, you can't take a break, or I can take a break, but I can't like push it off. I can't not post. My manager's calling me. Like, I just recently signed with management and they are, you know, looking for me. Somebody's emailing me, texting me, like, this is due this day. You know, it's not as leisurely as it was before. I'm working and I try, like, it's hard for me to even wrap my head around it. Like, it's not just you talking to yourself to a camera anymore. You're working, like, you have a job to do, you have people to show up for. You know, it's not just me anymore, and it's like a really good feeling, but at the same time it's kind of a lot of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
pressure to grow, pressure to reach more people, pressure to satisfy my audience. Like, I'm not just like posting whatever I feel like it anymore. You know, everything has to be not strategic, but thought out. Like, I have to keep my viewers in mind when I'm creating, for sure.
Speaking of that, since you can't just like leisurely post, and you know, you said you have management now and there's expectation now, you have to keep this train moving. How do you plan your content across the baking and the true crime and the talking?
Honestly, I haven't mastered it yet, really. I prioritize YouTube because that is my smallest platform, but that's where I'm working, like where I'm working the majority of the time. Like, that's what takes the most time. That's where I see the most like return. But I don't know, like I was telling somebody else the other day, like it flows the way I want it to flow without me thinking about it, but still there's a part of me that has to put a lot of thought into it. Like, I try to downplay how much thought I have to put into it to try to keep it light and fun. Because if I think about how much work actually has to go into it, I'll probably like lose my marbles. But one day at a time, like I try to focus on cases that like stand out to me. Like, I never want to just make a video because I found a case that I'm gonna, you know, put it up. Like, if I'm not passionate about the case, then the video isn't going to be interesting to me. It's going to be hard for me to film. It's going to be hard for me to edit. And it's going to be hard for me to, like, you know, bring that personality that I bring to my videos if I don't care about the case. So I consume a lot of true crime to find cases that I actually like. So it flows. It's kind of like an organized chaos.
Hey, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Isn't it like that for us all? Like, that's literally how I describe my life. Like, it's chaotic, but it's organized for me, not for anyone else, though.
Yeah, it's not organized on paper, but in my head, I feel like I've got a good grasp on
it. But it's been working for you because I saw that you have some sponsorships. Like, I noticed that you had like a Care of sponsorship in your video, and then when I checked out your profile, I did see like your management email, and I was like, oh, maybe I should have emailed the management and asked for this interview, you know what I'm saying? Instead of texting her directly. Obviously, she's on that level. But
I'm trying.
yes. The new pressure you was talking about, now that you have like all this new pressure, is it still as much fun for you as it used to be?
Yeah, because more than like I was really hesitant about management to begin with, but once I started talking to them and like they asked me what I wanted, like what my expectations were, and I told him, his name is Spencer, he was like, you know, what do you see for your brand? And I was like, I want to be the Jackie Aina of true crime. Like, when you think about black influencers, for me, I think about Jackie Aina. And he was like,
I love Jackie.
Like,
that's perfect.
That's my audience. That's what I'm always going to be. That's what I'm always going to stick to. Right. It's always going to be a little ratchet. It's always going to be a little spicy, but this is me, and that's what my audience likes. And there was absolutely no pushback. You know, I've just felt very comfortable. So I don't know. I'm very happy. Like, we've been working together since January, and it's just been great. It's been a great experience. I'm feeling like a big girl.
That's good. You know, a lot of people have bad experiences with management. Yeah. So I'm glad yours is going so well. And, you know, a lot of Black people have bad experiences with management because there's so much we don't know. And I'm glad they're looking out for you. It's pretty sure with everything you have to juggle, there's conflicts that you may have between work. I mean, like your professional work, your creative work, and your family. And I'm just wondering, like, how have you been able to navigate what course to take and what best decision, especially if you have to make a choice between one or the other?
It doesn't get too... I haven't faced too much conflict scheduling. I try to make sure I'm working on YouTube on the days that I'm off from bartending. And I try to only bartend closer to the end of the weekend. And so I know like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I need to be filming and baking cakes. But I know Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, like I need to be doing that while the kids are at school. And I try to have all this work put up while my, like, as soon as my kids get home, as soon as they're off the bus, like I don't want to be locked into a computer. I don't want to be editing. Like, I try to make sure this is all done. Doesn't mm-hmm. always happen that way, but I try to like prioritize it that way.
This doesn't sound like an organized chaos. This just sounds organized to me.
This sounds very put together.
Right. Do you ever worry about your boys in the, I guess, what their friends will see or what their friends' parents will see?
I think, like, I don't know, like, life kind of set me up to be prepared for that because, like I said, my baby's about to be 10. I'm about to be 26, so I had him really young when I was 16. Mm-hmm. So I've always been, like, the mother that's not really fitting in with the rest of the moms in the group. Right. I'm a little bit younger. And I remember one time when my baby was in pre-K, it was like a Christmas party, and we were, you know how pre-K, they have like the sinks in the classroom and all that, and I was squeezing past a group of the moms to get to the sink, and I made a joke like, ooh, all these hips, you know, I gotta squeeze past y'all, and nobody laughed, and like in that moment, I just knew like, you know, this is not my crowd, these are not people, please, these are not people that I want to hang out with, like I'm always gonna be the mom with hips, and that kind of cusses sometimes, and she might be twerking a little sometimes, and this is a third birthday party, but maybe she's a little tipsy, like, that's always gonna be me, always, and, you know, your vibe attracts your tribe, and I can't make a joke about my hips, girl, and you don't want to hear anything else I gotta say, like,
right.
people just judge people all the time without knowing them. Has anybody been, like, have you had an experience where you've been receiving any comments, judgmental comments on your,
all the time, like all the time. People are ruthless on the internet, like, you know, behind the phone, like people will say whatever they want, but that, when people are outraged or disgusted by something, them commenting just always leave. Like my video on my TikTok that has the highest amount of views is a cake that was leaning to the side. And everyone's like, oh my God, like the cake is so ugly. It's leaning. She doesn't know how to decorate cakes. That video has like 11 million views because people just couldn't shut up about how tilted the cake was. So I was like, okay, all these bitches going to the side if y'all don't give me 11 million views.
Well, this wasn't the $2,000 cake, was it?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay.
The more views, the better. Your check going to clear regardless.
Yeah, honestly. And then it was a little Oreo cake, like just stupid, but people were outraged and it just benefited me no matter what they were saying. Not, you know, that I would do anything outrageously crazy, but if a leaning cake will get me there, then that's the ticket. I'm gonna ride all the way to the top.
People complain about like the dumbest stuff. I can't believe the video you have with a complaint about a leaning cake is the most viewed video you have on TikTok.
It's insane. Like, besides the fact that I'm twerking and drinking while I'm baking it and I'm balancing the cake on my head, it's just like, the leaning cake was like the most controversial thing
ever. Right. There's so many things going on in this video and you worried about a cake leaning, my guy. So with everything you have going on, Kenny, do you have a good support system around you?
Yeah. And it's crazy. Like for the longest time when I was doing YouTube and TikTok and stuff, nobody knew. my baby daddy, he knew, but like my parents, they had no idea. My dad found out because he works at UPS, a warehouse full of people, and everybody would be like, this is your daughter, kid, this is your daughter. This is your daughter. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, yep, that's me.
And what do you do for self-care? How are you able to find time to be selfish and prioritize yourself?
I like to put the kids to bed. Bedtime is strict. Like bedtime is so strict. I need that time to wind down. And I used to be kind of ashamed of being the type of mom that needs like a break from her kids. And I need to go away for the weekend or I need to, you know, go here for the day, but not anymore. Like recently I've just lost a little bit of like the shame around that. I need a break. Like I need a day. No kids running around. Right. I need peace and quiet. I like to spend time with myself. So I feel no shame.
That's good.
I'm so excited to have me time. Like I make it a priority because if not, I'm gonna lose my mind. Like I have to have
To be able to effectively take care of your kids, you gotta take care of yourself. Yeah. So
Girl, you gotta be able to show up as the best version of you. I'm glad that you're able to find that time to do that for yourself. what's Kennedy's guilty pleasure?
Ooh, I feel like none of my pleasures are guilty.
No guilty
pleasure. Exactly. Why does my pleasure have to be guilty?
You know what? You are right. Enjoy it. I always say my guilty pleasure is watching like these dating reality shows.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. No, but I don't feel so guilty about it.
Yeah, so. No. I watch Love After Lockup.
Girl, that's my show.
It's so ridiculous. It's so horrible, but I love it. It's so good.
The episodes are so long, but I will sit there and binge watch it. I don't know.
I wonder if it's real, but at the same time, I don't care. Like, it's just the most ridiculous TV.
Right. I'd be like, you know, he just with you because you bought him a car as soon as he got out of jail, girl. He ain't trying to have no kids and get married.
Being in a relationship with somebody and having somebody paroled to your house are two very different things.
I have a question about the, because I don't bake cakes. I don't bake. I barely cook. But with the true crime aspect, since you consume so much, do you have a favorite case that you have like investigated or put content out about?
Do you
have one, maybe not favorite, because true crime is pretty grim, but did you have one that when you talk about true crime, this is the one that pops up, this is the one that sticks out in your mind?
I think it would be like the first video I ever did. I think it was the first true crime, or it's the one that has the most views. It was either the first or the second. It was a case about a young girl in Georgia who was found dead after months and months of searching. Found out it was like her mother and the stepdad. And like, because it's the first case, one of the first cases I've ever covered. And because of the pandemic, like, they still haven't had a trial. They still haven't been sentenced. They still really, you know, there's no trial. So we don't have a rundown of like what happened or what led up. So it's something that's like, I think about it all the time, and it pops up in my feed all the time. Like, I feel like I think about it like every day. The outcome. And she was a young Black girl with so much like to look forward to. She was about to graduate. She was about to have a birthday. She was looking to go into med school. And I just like, I think about it all the time. And I think one thing that resonates with me with that case is like, whenever I see a case with someone who's died young, I always try to put myself in their shoes and just think about all the things I would have missed if I would have died with them, like the memories I wouldn't have, the things me and my family would have missed out on. You know, you have to take a second to stop and think about that, and take a second to be grateful because things are happening every day. But it's just, that is definitely a case that I think about all the time.
To say that was your very first case that you covered, that must have had such a big impact on you, because like you've had so many videos since then, and you remember it a lot in detail. So like it just shows that you not only report it, but you actually care about it too.
Yeah.
I have watched a few people like on YouTube. You know, sometimes I just scroll around, especially when I'm caught up on binging every last video that every last person I like. I only really watch you, Brittany Vaughn, and Bailey Sarian. Sometimes I venture out, I watch Bella Fiore. Hers are pretty light. She don't go into much details. That's what I like about hers. It's like, when I don't feel like being scared, I watch Bella Fiore. But you know, there has been some true crime people that I have watched on TikTok. You know, there's like these true crime series on TikTok now and on Instagram now, and along with the ones on YouTube, where I literally had to stop it in the middle because I just felt like the person who was relaying the information back to me, they wasn't doing it in a caring way. And to say you, Bailey, and Brittany are, y'all have kind of like a comedic aspect to y'all's videos, you can still tell that like it affects you, and that you still, I guess like affects you, you have empathy for the victims and their families. I know that you said the first case is the more memorable. Is this also the same case that I guess affects you the most on an emotional level?
I wouldn't say the most. There's one case that I covered. It was about a serial killer, and the first victim was a Black girl, and like through my research, I read a lot about her and her relationship with her dad, and how really her case probably would have never been solved if her dad wouldn't have taken the time to have his own independent autopsy done. And this was back in like the late 90s, 80s, you know, when that was not something that we just did every day. Like he had to take her body and pay for an independent autopsy. And he just really went to, like, nothing was too much for him to figure out what had happened to his daughter. They tried to tell him that this 20-year-old girl died of natural causes. And, you know, without his pushback, without like the family behind her, where they probably wouldn't even have known that she was a victim of this same serial killer. But because she was a Black woman, they just kind of looked at it and kept it pushing. Like the first two suspects they looked into, they had alibis, and that was kind of it. And the case wasn't connected until later. So that I think I cried during that video. Like talking about her with her dad, because I'm really close to my dad. So I cried. And I was like, I'm sorry, but I just, I think that's the time I cried during the video.
Oh, I don't think I've seen that one then, because I don't remember seeing you cry during the video. Okay, good. So I know if I see you cry, just skip over that one. Okay, good. How, what's the process of putting together a true, like researching, putting together a true crime video and then posting it online?
So I find a case that I'm interested in that catches my eye, a case that I feel like hasn't been told a lot. Or when I find a case, I'll take like the victim's names and I'll put them into YouTube, or like if it's a serial killer, I'll take that name and put it into YouTube to see kind of what comes up. Cause if it's a bunch of videos, I don't want to do that. But once I find a case, I start a Google Doc and I do like a rough outline of like the whole timeline in order. And then I'll do research from like just any articles online and kind of fill in the gaps here and there of, you know, the information that sticks out to me. And after that, I'll kind of read over it and make sure I'm familiar with all the little bits and pieces so I can tell it back on camera. And I think about what I want to add to the story, my thoughts, my opinions, how certain things make me feel. And I just get on the camera and just start running my mouth.
Well, I know you say that you try to do cases that are not as popular, and I think you do a great job because I don't think there's been, I think there's only been one video so far that you've done that I actually heard of on another platform, and this is between the YouTube like cases that I listen to, the TikTok one I watch, and I also listen to like three true crime podcast. So only one so far has been familiar, and even between the three true crime podcasts that I listen to, I've heard the cases told in between the others. So like, you're doing a great job. And I did notice that you do cases of a lot of Black victims that you normally would not hear about.
Yeah, I try to do like Black cases as much as I can, but those just hit closer to home to me, like so much harder than other videos. Like, it's hard. It's like, I want to talk about Black tragedy every week.
Right. And there has been a couple of times I had to turn it off.
And during Black History Month, I always try to figure out like how I want to tie that into my channel. But it's like, do you really want to talk about Black trauma the whole month? Like, that's not extreme Black History Month for me. I try to find a balance, but like, I don't know why. I hate to sound like insensitive, but just when I'm dealing with cases with victims that don't look like me, it's not as hard for me to detach. It's a whole lot easier. A whole lot less heavy.
Yeah. I mean, there's layers of separation between those people. And I get it, because most of the cases where I shed a tear or have to turn it off, it involves a Black victim. Because I see myself you know, in especially if it's a Black woman or a Black girl, I can see myself, or a Black man, I can see my brothers, you know, or my dad. So it hit closer to home, and I'm I don't think there's anything wrong with it, because I'm pretty sure the white people say the same thing. And if they didn't, our cases would be reported more. What's in store for the Kennedy Myers brand in the future?
I just signed a really cool deal. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I can talk about it. I don't think I can talk about it. But it's from now until like the end of the year. I had someone, like, I don't want to say buy me out, but, you know, we worked out a deal for from now to the like the close of the year. And I got that deal through my management. And that deal just kind of showed me like what mm-hmm. is in store for me, what's possible. Because I think with social media, it's hard to kind of see it until it's there, you know, like,
right.
It's like, you can think that certain things are going to happen, but like, until it's like in paper, in writing on your face, and you're signing mm-hmm. contracts, it doesn't really mm-hmm. feel real. It just, I don't know how to explain it. It's wild. I guess because it's not tangible. Like, I don't mm-hmm. go to work every day. Mm-hmm. I'm not, you know, clocking in and sitting next to coworkers. And mm-hmm. so it still kind of feels like me playing on the computer to some extent. But it's like at the beginning of this year, I told myself like this birthday was going to be different. Like for some reason, I just knew like this birthday was going to be different. And it feels good to know that like, I understand. I understand mm-hmm. how, why I was feeling that way. And just the things that social media has been able to bring me so far. And I've just starting to dip my feet into this. Like, I know that I'm on the right path. I feel like my steps are ordered. Like, I know me throwing myself into that bakery at 18 has really like gone somewhere for me.
Yeah.
Like, I just walk around, I feel like I'm floating. I'm so excited for my future. But really, the first time in a minute, like, I feel like I have a career that's going somewhere and something that I actually want to do. Like, mm-hmm. it's very exciting to be feeling like fulfilled, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, fulfilled.
I feel like we just that's got an exclusive, really cool. exclusive.
Without saying too much, I feel like you gave us a lot. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So first off, I mean, you kind of glossed right over it, but congratulations. That's such a big deal.
Yes.
Like, I'm so happy for you, and I'm so happy to see what's like in for, like, what's going to happen with you in the future, and what's going to happen with your brand. Like, it's just, it's, you're excited, but I'm also excited. I can't say I'm more excited than you, but I'm excited to see what's going to come from everything mm-hmm. that you're doing. Mm-hmm. Like, everything that you're doing already is just so amazing to me. So just to see it grow and to benefit you and to help your family, like that, to see another Black woman just doing great things, it just means so much. Like, congrats. Yeah.
Big congrats. Yes.
Yes, big congrats, girl. And like to hear you say that you feel fulfilled, it just shows that is a destination that we all can get to.
Yeah.
You know, women, especially Black women, we get to a certain age and we feel like we didn't lost so much time and that like, we can't do the things that we want to do. And like, I know that you started young, but you know, you had your own type of challenges, but you really are a testament to show that you can do anything when you put your mind to it. Shout out to my daddy. with your brand growing so much, can like normal people just go and buy a cake from you still?
That's one thing that I really don't have the time to do anymore. Like, I just, I can't. If Black people would be on time to picking their cakes up, it'd be
okay.
Different.
Okay. Okay. Y'all heard that. Not,
and it's not something I can spend the time doing anymore, but right. It's definitely still something that I love. I always will make cakes for my friends and family. Always, always, mm-hmm. always. That big blue $2,000 cake was actually mm-hmm. for my uncle's wedding. I was 8 mm-hmm. months pregnant when I made that cake. Their oh, wow. wedding was May 4th, and I had my baby June 4th, so.
Wow. And wow. the cake was beautiful. And I love your video talking about nobody's going to pay. I guess somebody commented and said nobody would pay for a $2,000 cake. And you was like, bitch, where? Here's the proof. Let me show you how it's done.
Y'all get it. Like, the cake is expensive.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It really is. It's done well and it tastes good. Cake is expensive, but it's also a lot of work. Like, it's a lot of work.
And I have, Mia, I have tasted Kennedy's cakes. Two of them specifically, and they are just as good as they look. So she's not just a decorator. You know, you see, sometimes people just decorate cakes. Like, they take the cake that's already baked, right? Like they do at the grocery store. They get the frozen.
Yeah.
But do you bake everything from scratch, right? Or like from a box?
Not everything. I tell always people, like, it has to be... Like, I bake cakes from scratch, like, on Christmas and Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, like, for my clients, or if I have a big wedding cake, I always bake it from the box. And I've had two or three, like, virtual cake classes. And I was telling my girls, like, in my classes, like, the most consistent way to make sure you have a cake that you haven't forgotten anything in, you don't want to bake 15 layers of cake and realize at the end that you forgot to put baking soda in, like, bake in the box. Consistent. It'll save you money. It'll save you time. You know, you don't have to worry about, like, forgetting anything, because baking a cake from scratch, that's a lot of ingredients and it's a lot of room for error. And you don't always have that kind of time. Like, if you're baking 11 and 12 cakes, you know, every weekend, girl, bake it from a box. It's going to be okay.
Shortcut where you can.
Right. Yeah. And all these bigger bakeries like Ambrosia, Gambino's, Lord, they're going to try to sue me, but they all use cake mix. Like, they all do. Like, not cake mix like you buy in the store, big, huge bags of cake mix, but it's all cake mix. There's too much room for error when you're baking a cake totally. Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to toot my own horn, but I actually bake. And I've baked a cake from scratch, and I know exactly what you mean, because I had to bake it twice because I forgot an ingredient.
You have to start all over.
But I like how you say, like, we gonna use this box cake because we ain't our grandmama and we ain't got time for that. I said, yes.
She had time. She didn't have a job. The only thing she needs to do today was bake that cake. It's not a cake. It's just not the same.
The Kennedy is talking to my spirit.
I really just want to say I'm so glad that I got a chance to meet you via Zoom. This was great. I was trying to say earlier, I don't know how you do it all with the cakes and the true crime and this and that and literally everything, but this is amazing. Like, I am over the moon impressed. I do want to know, how do you sleep at night? Because between true crime and having, you know, to basically run a cake business and then have children, because I don't have any kids and I can barely function in life right now. How do you sleep? Like, this is...
I think, like, having kids just made, you know, I don't have any options. I can't sleep in.
Yeah.
Kids are expensive.
Yeah.
And I'm expensive.
Yeah. I appreciate you taking the time out today. Because, like I said, I know you got a lot going on and you're just booked and busy. But even though you are booked and busy, I'm still waiting on my True Crime Baddie t-shirt. So,
make it two t-shirts.
I don't want to put her on the spot, Mia, but, like, the besties want to know, when we getting the t-shirt, girl?
I have no idea. I don't even know where to start. It's like... I decided to be a True Crime Baddie one day. I was not expecting everybody to run with it.
Oh, absolutely.
But now I owe a lot of people t-shirts and I need to figure it out.
Like, you're just so much more than what I thought you were and what anyone thinks you are. And every day someone's coming up to me and be like, did you know Kennedy? And I'm like, well, did you also know? So, you know, we really do appreciate you being on. you know, joining us in this little old conversation that we're having. Because you're a whole celebrity out here in these streets, you know? Girl. Is there anything you want to tell the LDBs before you go about, you know, what you do, who you are, what you believe in?
Hashtag wise words. Anything yes. you want to leave the folks off with? Maybe like a motto that you live by, or like affirmations that you, you know, tell yourself to keep, you know, keep you going.
Whenever I see 11-11, I just always think to myself, like, we going up, like the sky is the limit. Mm-hmm. I'm very much a person who just feels like I'm gonna do it. Like if I can't, there's no such thing as can't do it. I'm gonna keep working until it's done. And I remember when I started my YouTube, like I wanted to be where I am now. And I was like, ooh, you know, one day when I get there, like I'm gonna be so happy. And now that I am almost to 20K, I always like to say like a year from now, I'm gonna be doing this, a year from now. And it's like, I can't wait to see me a year from now, because I know mm-hmm. from here till then, I'm gonna put in the work. I'm always gonna show up for myself. You just have to put the work in, and one day you're gonna open your eyes and you're gonna wake up and be exactly where you wanna be. You can't be like the person you wanna be a year from now if you don't put the work in now. I always tell myself, let's just put the work in. Put your head down and do the work. And I've been working.
Yeah, and it's paying off.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's definitely
dope.
Thank you so much for those wise words, Kennedy. And thank you, LDBs, for listening in on our Not So Private Conversation this week. And as always, guys, we will talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
So much long distance besties for joining us again for another Not So Private Conversation. Don't forget to check us out on Instagram at Jean V Williams. That's at Jean J-E-A-N-N-E V Williams, and at Perfectly Mia. That's at Perfectly M-I-A. And if you have any topic suggestions or any questions, you just shoot us an email at notsoprivatepod@gmail.com.
Make sure you hit the subscribe button. We definitely appreciate it. Remember to leave a review on Spotify, Apple, and Google. You can also find us at Radio Public, Pocket Cast, Overcast, and Breaker. And you can find us on anchor.fm/notsoprivatepod. Now you can also hear us on YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, the Not So Private Podcast channel. Now, with all of that being said, join us next time for another Not So Private Conversation.